Today is Trinity Sunday. It's a traditionally a time when preachers try to find someone else to preach. Many of you know that I enjoy playing golf. Some golfers spend a lot of time thinking about their shot before they take it. They think about how far away the green is, which way the wind is blowing, which club they should use, how high their tee is, which leg is carrying the most weight, and so on. Me, I skip most of that. I put the ball down, I hit it. Hopefully in the general direction of the hole. And sure, you know, I'd like to get a hole in one, and I'm delighted when my score improves. But mainly, I'm just happy to be outside in a beautiful place with an excuse to do nothing useful. I suggest that we might think about the Trinity in the same way that I think about golf. We can spend a lot of time thinking about it and analyzing it, but what's much more important and fun is how we play with God. Today's readings show us different aspects of the three persons of the Trinity. Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus' Father, the Creator God, and the Holy Spirit. There is no single passage in the Bible which explains the Trinity. Is this one on?
Yeah.
Okay. I know, we've been having some trouble with it kind of coming and going, but it's never been this bad. Who knows? It must be the atmosphere today. Maybe God is playing with us. All right, so, three persons of the Trinity, Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Father, the Creator God, and the Holy Spirit. There is no single passage in the Bible which explains the Trinity. It is an understanding of God developed by the early church. For the first couple of hundred years, theologians didn't distinguish with any precision between the three persons of the Godhead, but by the fourth century, the nature of God was a very big deal. You're all familiar with the Nicene Creed, which came out of those debates and arguments, but most of us are not so aware of the Creed of Saint Athanasius. So, for laughs, let's find it. It's on page 864 of the prayer book. Turn with me to page 864 of the red or black book. So you'll see it's in very small print. And skipping down to the third line, we read, and the Catholic, remember that Catholic here means universal. The Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. And it gets better from there. So you don't need to read it unless you really want to. Athanasius was a very strong Trinitarian, but he probably had nothing to do with this particular creed, which dates from the 5th or the 6th century, and in some places uses the exact same words as St. Augustine in his book on the Trinity. But one of the things I find so interesting about it is that this creed does not even mention Jesus' crucifixion. Five lines from the bottom, it says that he suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead. Jesus could have died from cancer, it seems. His whole focus is on the relationship between the members of the Godhead. And yet the whole focus of the Gospels is on Jesus' life and teaching on this earth. Jesus certainly talked about the God who was his Abba, his Father, and in today's gospel makes it clear that the Spirit is somehow separate from either of them. But he just takes it for granted. It's part of the reality of the reign of God. Now, I don't want to imply that the nature of God does not matter to us at all. It does matter, because what you believe about God is reflected in how you live your life. If you believe that God is watching you to see how often you sin or to correct your failings, then you will live fearfully and in constant dread. If, on the other hand, you believe that God really does love the whole of creation, including you, unconditionally, then it gives you the courage to live a life of compassion, forgiveness, and hope. How you think about God affects how you play with God. This morning, I think there are two things about the Trinity which are particularly important or interesting. First, that God is complex, and secondly, that God is in constant loving community. First, God is complex. We shouldn't be surprised that God is complex, because God's creation is complex. I was just reading yesterday about quarks, and how there are up quarks and down quarks, bottom quarks, top quarks, charm quarks, and not to mention strange quarks. And if you've ever tried to differentiate between all the brown birds at the beach, the curlews and whimbrels and godwits and sandpipers, then you know that God delights in diversity and complexity. Diversity in quarks, diversity in birds, diversity in people. But the great thing about God's complexity is that you and I may experience him or her quite differently, and both be right. Just like light can be a particle or a wave, so God can be creator, word, or spirit. It all depends on how we look at the Godhead on any given day. So we don't need to get hung up on our own ideas about God. The Sufis talk of the face of God that we know. Each one of us has a different relationship with the divine. And each one of us, as that relationship becomes deeper and stronger, gets to know God in just a slightly different way. So I don't need to persuade you that God is just like I see her. And you don't need to persuade me that God is something different. And God can be God to people with very different spiritual paths just as easily as she can be God for you and me. In Jesus, we have the manifestation of God in a way that we can see and understand. In Jesus, we can see what God is like as a human. And as such, we know that God is loving, forgiving, compassionate, courageous, and willing to suffer in order to transform and redeem creation. Jesus shows us the nature of God, and the Holy Spirit empowers us increasingly to live as the Christ-like humans we were made to be, secure in the knowledge of God's love. Now, the second aspect of the Trinity, which I think is especially important, is that God is God in community. Each person in the Godhead is in constant, loving, flowing, joyful submission to one another. This gives us a model for living, which is quite different from the one we see in society, where each person is in competition for scarce resources. Each person needs to make sure that they are okay, and that they have as much power and as many toys as they can get their hands on. That makes for a cutthroat world based on dominion and violence. But if we are made in God's image, and if we have been reconciled to God in Christ, we too get to play in a gentle, loving community with one another. We get to learn and practice different ways of being, ways which are in sync with the rhythm of the Trinity. And we are invited to be caught up in the dance, which is the work of the love of God as he or she redeems creation. God is alongside us in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. God accompanies us through our lives and constantly challenges us to be more than we think we can be, because we are co-creators with God of this reality. During our conversation this week on the heart of Christianity, we were talking about Jesus falling asleep when the storm came up on the Sea of Galilee and threatened to swamp the boat. One of our group said that she wouldn't have woken Jesus. She would have just been busy bailing the water out. But I suspect that the triune God would be right there bailing next to her. Just as in the moments of joy, God is rejoicing along with us. Because God is here among us, as Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. And God is always, every moment, calling us into deep, intimate relationship with the Godhead. And God is always, in every moment, right there beside us. Let us pray. God for us, we call you Father and Mother. God alongside us, we call you Jesus the Christ. God God within us, we call you Holy Spirit. You are the eternal mystery that enables, enfolds, and enlivens all things, even us and even me. Every name falls short of your goodness and greatness. We can only see who you are in what is. We ask for such perfect seeing, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen.